This is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Bearing Precious Seed podcast. We are in a study on the name of Jesus. And if you haven't had time to go back and hear the first three, you need to do that, because each one of these 25-minute segments carries something very special. And the time that we live in, I really believe that we need to be increasing the depth of our understanding, our worship, and our love upon the authority of the name of Jesus. So go back, listen to them, and get your Bible out. Get your pen, get your paper, and look at these verses. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the name of Jesus. And we're asking that you would speak to us, that your word would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would come out with a greater depth of faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to open up today with the scriptures that we've been looking at, Philippians chapter 2. Every time I read Philippians chapter 2, you're just like, oh, I want to hear that again. Because, I mean, this verse just really kind of puts it all together. Jesus the conqueror. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible declares, and we'll start with verse 7, being made of no reputation, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I tell you, that scripture lays out the power and the dominion of Jesus Christ and his name. And when you read that, we laid the foundation. His name, the character of his name, is the character of a servant. He came to serve us in order to save us, in order to be an example. And I'm not going to go back and re-preach, you know, lesson one. But I tell you, when we learn to be servants, we find there's joy, and we find that the power and the authority of his name, I believe, is more efficacious in our lives. His name is a servant. He was a servant. But because of that, God highly exalted him. Now, today I want you to turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 3. And I just so love this portion of scripture. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love you? I really believe that one reason why we're in this study is because of the time that we live in. I believe that Jesus is soon to come. I really believe that there is absolutely nothing left to be accomplished before he comes. And so the doctrine is the doctrine of the imminency of the Lord. And in this time that we live in, I believe that as Christians, disciples, people that have a true relationship with the Lord, we need to be preparing ourselves to meet him. And so as we're reading Song of Solomon, it talks about his name, that his name is like the anointing. It's like the outpouring of the presence. And because of that, the virgins, they love his name. Now, when you think about that, you got to go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. And this is talking about the rapture, the coming of the Lord to receive his body to himself. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said that where I am, you're going to be. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to take you to where I am. Well, he's not talking about his reign on the earth at that time. There will be a reign on the earth. But he's talking about the rapture where he comes, he receives his bride to himself, we're transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and then we're caught up to where the Father is. So Matthew 25, the first part, we're going to look at this, the first one. And the Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. So there are 10 in a position of looking for the bridegroom. But there's a difference with these 10. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, I'm not going to continue to read this concerning this podcast, but what we find out is 10 virgins, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. And what we find, the dividing line here is oil. And so when you look at the Song of Solomon, you realize the wise virgins had a communion in the name of Jesus. They had a relationship, a love for his name. And in that, it produces the ointment, the oil of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, our relationship with the Holy Spirit really isn't just to know the Holy Spirit, which I want to. I love that. But the Holy Spirit came as a servant in order to lift up Jesus. The desire of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known. The desire of Jesus is to make the Father known. And so, as we get into this, we see the role of the Holy Spirit is to cause the name of Jesus to become alive for us. Our communion with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, our walking with the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage you to see. Now, let's take a look to Galatians. It's a scripture that we're going to probably keep coming in and out of because it's so powerful. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so when we look at that, we find that in the New Testament, in our position in Christ, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about identification, that I'm not Eric Casto who goes to church and identifies as a Christian. No, Eric Casto died. I was crucified with Christ. And this is the reality of salvation, of Christianity. If you want to live, you have to die. Let me say it a little bit different. Man's sin warranted judgment. The judgment was death. The wages of sin is death. Meaning every human being, every man, woman, child, whatever, on this planet, because of sin, we only had one rightful judgment, and that was death. Now we get into the love of God. But God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? Well, he gave his son. But the way he gave him is he had to die in order to give life. But in order for us to walk in that life, we don't have life of our own. The only life that we really have is the life of the Son of God. That's why Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You can't bear fruit of yourself. The only way that you can survive is as a branch living in the vine. So you never been out, like, I don't know, in France, maybe you see all of the grape vines and fields. And well, you don't go over there and see little branches on their own having a great time. Every branch that has beautiful fruit is tied into the life of the vine. And that's the way it is. If I'm going to live, I have to die, identify with Christ, so that it's Christ who lives in me. I say, or I deny my desires, my fleshly desires. Why? So that I can live in the Spirit with the vine, so that me, my life, a branch, can bear fruit. And so that's what Paul's declaring. But he says, in this flesh, and that's what you and I, we have a body of flesh. How do we live? Well, we live by his faith. Well, it's by faith. Yes, but no. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. You can't have faith without him. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Jesus Christ, the word of God. Hearing him. As you listen to him, he's the author and finisher of faith. He begins to build your faith. And he begins to draw you in and bring you into that place where you learn in your flesh how to live by his faith. And there is no limit to his faith. Oh, I tell you what. I mean, sometimes you don't feel very much like a Christian. But we don't go by feelings, because we go by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So Paul is driving this point home. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. Now let's turn real quick to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, the healing of a lame man. Now let's we're going to get into this, and I think we're going to continue into the next podcast, because this is going to be a chunk of tremendous scripture we're going to get into. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's Acts 3, verse 1. Verse 2, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man had never walked, crippled, his whole life. He had no, even if, listen, even if he got his legs healed right there, he still didn't know how to walk. Just remember that. Just remember that as part of the healing here. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked, entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I don't know if they saw, you know, they probably saw him walking and they heard him praising God. And they knew that it was he who had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So Peter and John, they're heading to the temple at the hour of prayer. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to pray, yeah. But they're going in communion. They're in a relationship with the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so they're in this communion of the Lord. And as they get up there, I mean, the Lord decides he needs to stop and minister to this man. Peter and John have no healing power in and of themselves. And we're going to read that. They're going to make it really clear. But their communion with the Lord, and let me tell you, they had walked with the Lord a lot of miles, a lot of kilometers. They had spent a lot of time walking with Jesus and watching him stop and minister to people. He just did that. In fact, the Bible says if books were written about everything he did, there wouldn't be enough bookshelves and libraries to hold all the books written about him. He was amazing. I mean, think about Jesus. When he came, he was an embryo inside of Mary. But the power and the glory of the Lord, the power of the Most High, was so strong upon Mary, upon little baby Jesus, that when Mary walked into Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist received his anointing right then as a prophet. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. There was never a word about John the Baptist as a little baby being filled with the Holy Ghost before that moment. No. Little embryo Jesus, under the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit, just his presence, he was changing people as an embryo. How important are babies in the womb? They're everything to God. God loves life. And that life inside of Mary was changing Elizabeth, changing John. And we could go on story after story about Jesus who changes people. Now, as you get into this, verse 16, the Bible says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So what's happening here is this man is healed. The crowd is running. They're like, they are shocked. They're like, how did this happen? And now Peter and John, they're going to have to start explaining, how did this happen? The man's been lame from birth, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God. And he's also holding on to these disciples. And it says that. Well, why? He's never walked before. He's kind of learning to walk. His legs are strong. They're normal. But you know what? It's new. So he kind of has to hang on to Peter and John as well. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful to read that and see what's happening. Now, Peter says in verse 12, he answered the people, said, "You men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness that we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the Prince of Life." But this is where the preaching is going to get real hot. "But God hath raised him back from the dead, and we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What Peter is saying is, we're in fellowship with his name. We're moving in his name. We're living in his name. We're having our being in his name. And the faith of that name, the faith that comes from Jesus Christ, because we've been crucified, but we live. Yet not I, it's Christ that lives in me. And we're walking down the path here, and Jesus just wanted to stop. And in our communion and fellowship with him, he healed this man. Well, how did he do it? His name, through faith in his name. It's no different than Jesus being right there. And that's what I want to encourage you. I want you to begin to see the name of Jesus as Jesus being right with you. See that name in you. See that name on you, that you've been sealed in his name. And, you know, I just got off of a Zoom call, and people from different nations of the world, we were together, and You know, we were talking about the name of Jesus, and I was sharing this word. And all of a sudden, I kind of just opened the floor up for people to talk. And it was amazing to listen to people from different areas of the world talk about the name of Jesus, of testimonies of deliverance, healing testimonies, delivering testimonies. And I tell you, I heard some tremendous testimonies of the name of Jesus. And I just sat back and I thought, this is so amazing that a group of Christians would just kind of just relax and listen to each other talk about our love for his name and what we've seen his name do in our lives. Very powerful. So powerful. Now listen, I want you to think about what we're talking about. I want you to go into these scriptures and begin to pull in your spirit and say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And as you do, you're going to find yourself in greater fellowship with him. Let me tell you a quick story. Many years ago, my wife Beth and I, we were living in Atlanta, Georgia. And one night we're driving down the road, and it's dusk, which means the sun is going down and everything's kind of brown, kind of gray. And as we're driving, small road, all of a sudden I saw deer up ahead entering into the road. And as I began to alert myself, all of a sudden I realized there was a deer right in front of us. It was the color of his coat that caused me not to initially see him so quickly. As soon as Beth and I saw this deer, out of our mouths came Jesus. I mean, it came loud, it came strong, it came like we had a relationship with him. And we were crying out, Jesus. And you say, well, what happened? I don't know what happened. To this day, all I know is there was a deer in front of us, and that deer disappeared. You mean it ran away? No, didn't see it run away. I've been around a lot of deer, and I know how fast they are, and how and this that didn't happen. That deer disappeared. And to this day, I kind of in my mind, I'm thinking, here's this deer on the road ready to die, and two people who had fellowship with the name of Jesus called upon that name for salvation. And the power of God took that deer. I don't know, it probably ended up in a field, a nice safe field somewhere far away from that road. And that deer probably is still wondering, how did I get here? Well, there were two people that loved Jesus, and the creator of the ends of the earth intervened and changed the situation. And I find that a lot of times when we're in a dangerous situation, there's usually a few seconds that determine what's going to happen. And as we interject in that few seconds that's happening, we interject the name of Jesus. I see great deliverance, great change of whatever the dangerous situation was to peace and safety. Listen, that's all I have time for now. Go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. God bless you. Bye-bye.